Hope you slept well. I did, so I feel good about that. And we got a lot going on today, and looking forward to all of those things. Well, let's see here. It's Wednesday, and we have only been in Ephesians chapter 4 when we have gathered together, and that's what we're going to do again this morning. I'd like you to go back to Ephesians chapter 4. All right. Now, tonight, a little spoiler alert, we will not be in Ephesians 4 tonight. All right. So not that I don't know if you care to know all that far in advance. But anyway, when we have gathered here right now, this is what we're going to be in, Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit has been opening up your heart, opening up your mind to understand these things. I know it's somewhat early in the morning, but for some of you, you are early morning. How many of you are morning people? You say, I think and operate better. What does this mean? Kind of a morning person? Yeah. Yeah. So sometimes. Very good. Yeah. I am not a morning person. I'm much more of an evening person, a night owl. Is anyone else like that? All right? Yeah, you're my type of people. Okay, very good. Well, I think, though, we can still understand what we have here before us today. So our text in Ephesians 4 is going to be verses 26 and 27. All right, the apostle says this, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Have you heard these verses before? Did you know that the Bible actually told you to be angry? Ah, who knew? Be angry, but do not sin in your anger. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So the parent says to the teenager, "Hey, have a good time with your friends tonight. Oh, but remember three things. Number one, do right. Number two, don't do anything stupid in sin. Number three, after all, what you do reflects on this family. Remember your last name, Buster." Have you had this conversation before or something similar to that? If not, you will probably one day, or you will have this, Lord willing, one day with your kids. You know, that's exactly the argument that the apostle is using here in Ephesians 4. He's saying, Christian, enjoy the life God has given you. It is a wonderful life that God has given us here on this earth. So, Christian, enjoy the life God has given you. Oh, but remember, do right. Don't get caught up in wrong actions. After all, what you do reflects on the family of God. What you do reflects on the reputation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. I said this last night, but I'll say it again. Young man, young lady, truly, how you live your life on this earth in a non-Christian world is vital to the testimony and reputation of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you this morning, does your life speak well of Jesus? Or does your life speak poorly of Jesus? Now, I think very highly of myself, so I think my life speaks well of the Lord Jesus. But how do we know? How do you know if you are speaking well, if your life is showing well of the Lord Jesus or not? Well, we turn without hesitation to the Apostle Paul here in Ephesians chapter 4. And he says this, "Your life speaks well of Jesus when you are true to who you are in Christ." Remember this? Christian, you claim to be a Christian. Christian, something happened to you. Something irreversible happened to you. Something glorious happened to you. Something eternal happened to you. The old you has been crucified and put away. The new you has come to life. God has given God. This is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have a new life. You have a new destiny. You have a new hope. You have a new understanding. You have new desires, new feelings. Yes, even new behavior. With new birth must come new behavior. With new life will come new living. Let's see here. With a new creation comes new conduct. How about that? You like all that? This is, and if new behavior does not follow new birth, then you don't have new birth. New birth must produce new behavior or it's not the real thing. So, you are the new man in Christ, so act like it. Be who you are. This is how you share and show that you are speaking well of the Lord Jesus. Well, how do you live as a Christian in this non-Christian world? How are you to conduct yourself? You don't have to walk out of here scratching your head and saying, I have no idea how to conduct myself as a Christian. No, it is very clear. There is a familiar pattern that is emerging. I introduced it last night. Oh, we're going to hit it again this morning. And every time we look at Ephesians 4, we're going to keep hitting this pattern. How do I know how to live as a Christian? Well, here's the pattern. It goes something like this. Put off, put on, Christian reason why. You have already put off the old man, so put off the corruption of the old man. You have already put on the new man, so put on the righteousness of the new man and be every day growing in our understanding of why we do what we do. Now, we've already considered what the gospel does with lying. This was last night. We are told this, we put off lying and falsehood. We put off double living. In its place, we put on the righteousness of truth-telling, the integrity of life. Why? What makes this Christian? A lot of non-Christians try to avoid lying and telling the truth. What makes this particular behavior Christian? Oh, we are members one of another. You see, Christianity is concerned with the unity of the church. We want the world to see what Jesus Christ can do so that we can speak of who Jesus Christ is. He unifies us in all of our diversity. We are unified in Christ. But when you live a double life, when you lie, when you deceive, you destroy the unity of the church. And therefore, this is why we are concerned with putting off lying and putting on truth-telling. Now, before we move on to the next one here in verses 26 and 27, I want to ask you this question. Why do you think the apostle began with lying? See, he talks about lying, then he's going to talk about anger, then he's going to talk about theft, then he's going to talk about speech, then he's going to talk about malice. Why did he begin with lying? There's nothing random in Scripture. Why did he begin with lying? Well, I think it's because of this. Every sin you as a Christian commit and embrace, you are lying about who you really are. You're the new man in Christ, but if you're indulging in sinful, corrupt behavior, you are lying about who you really are. So put off lying. Put off the corruption. Don't lie about who you are. Be who you are. Be this genuine Christian. You are the new man in Christ. So, all right. So that's what the gospel does with lying. Now, let me ask another question. What does the gospel do with anger? Would you agree with me that we live in an angry world? People are angry. What does the gospel do with anger? Oh, you don't have to wonder. You don't have to stumble out of here and say, well, I got no idea what's required of me as a Christian. No. Did you know? Another little spoiler alert. There is a pattern that emerges from verses 26 and 27. Did you notice the pattern? It goes something like this. Put off sinful anger. Put on righteous anger. What's the Christian reason why? So that we deny the devil an opening to our heart. Let's look at these three steps, all right? This is how you live as a Christian when it comes to anger. Number one, you put off sinful anger. You notice that back in verse 26? Be angry, but do not sin in your anger. What we see here off the bat is there are two types of anger. Did you know this? One is good anger. One is bad anger. Anger, therefore, is a natural emotion put in you by God. But here's my question for you. Is your anger out of control or under the control of the Holy Spirit? You see, when your anger is controlled by the Holy Spirit and channeled in a righteous direction, your anger is actually a good thing and can be used for godliness and advancing the cause of Jesus Christ. Oh, but when your anger is out of control and it is channeled in a selfish direction, now you have a sin problem and you are lying about who you really are. So put off the lies by putting off the sinful anger of the old man. The new man has no business dressing in the dirty clothes of anger, sinful anger that has been left behind. Now then, there are several ways that sinful anger can be expressed. I wrote a few down here. Here's sinful anger: irritability, annoyance, resentment, seething hatred, bitterness. Cold war silence. You know what that means? No one's talking, but boy, there is anger between the two. Yelling, ranting, vengeance, revenge, uncontrolled fury. These are all the leftover corruption of the old man. Now, let's get a little bit real. Maybe you, or maybe someone that you love, has been hurt by somebody else. You or that person you know has been offended. They have been wounded. Maybe it has been a dad, by someone you trusted, like a dad or a mom or a step parent. Maybe a former pastor. Maybe a church member. Maybe they don't go to your church anymore. Maybe they still do. A cousin, a brother, a former friend. Someone you were close to, but they have wounded you. They have offended you. They have sinned against you. Make no mistake, they have done wrong, and they have done wrong towards you. But you find in your heart this morning, you have a desire deep within that they get what's coming to them. That they have this judgment upon that they get their comeuppance. Oh, you can't be in the same room with him. You can't hear her name without filtering everything she even says through your hurt. You are quick with reasons why they are wrong and you are right. If someone else talks about her or talks about him, all you can do is think about, you find anger boiling again in your heart as you think about their lies, their hypocrisy. You think about their injustice against you and the carnage that their words and actions and texting or whatever it may have been have left behind. You find yourself anger boiling up in your heart. When you think of him or hear her name, you find that anger boiling. Or it could be that you are angry at how your life has turned out. See, you wanted your life to turn out a certain way. You want your life to be a certain way. But you have found this reality that you can't make life happen the way you want it to happen in your life. And you're angry about that. Or maybe you even transferred that anger towards God. You look at God and you think about God and you are angry at what he has done to you. You've tried to do right, and this is how he's treated you. You are not happy over your health. You're not happy how relationships have turned out in your life. You're not happy about how a certain friendship has happened. You don't like what's been happening at school. You don't like what's happening at work. You are not happy about how your life has spiraled out of your control, and you're angry. You're angry at God. You're angry at yourself. You're angry at your parents. You are angry at these things. And sometimes that smoldering rage within you erupts with the hot lava of wrath, explosive anger. By this I mean slamming of doors, punching holes in the wall, throwing things, yelling, ranting, cursing, spewing profanity, hitting other people, shouting, posting venomous statements or half-truths online. Well, good for you. Now it's there forever. And it makes you feel good for a little bit, but you have thrown like a dynamite of carnage left behind. All of that is the old you in Adam. Ecclesiastes 7:9, these are not my words, these are the words of the scripture. Ecclesiastes 7:9, the angry man is a fool. Proverbs 16:32, the angry man is a weak man. Oh, you think you're strong when you explode. You think you're a big man, a big woman when you can post online. You can tell it like it is. You are not strong. You are weak. Proverbs 22:24, the angry man will be a lonely man. You find that people want to avoid you when you start getting in your little attitude. Jesus himself said in Matthew 5:21-22, the angry man is actually a murderer in the heart and is in danger of the divine judgment of God. Is this you? Are you an angry person? Are you angry at God for how your life has turned out? Are there holes in the doorway or in the door of your bedroom back home? Have things been thrown and things been said and things been broken? Do you find yourself plotting revenge or cooking up a lie? Are you trying to find the dirt on other people, trying to take that person down? Are you always irritable? Are you always annoyed? I mean, you come to chapel and you find in your heart this idea of, I just have to endure this. You're an angry person. What are you, unsaved? Maybe you are. But if you find yourself boiling on the inside, annoyed, irritated, frustrated all the time, you have a sin problem. You have an anger problem. And you need to come before God this morning and you need to repent of your sin. And I'm not talking about this fake repentance because you've done before. But that you need to get honest with your own self and your own standing before God. And you need to get this off your heart and for a genuine broken repentance. The slave you were is dead. So be done with the slavery. That's not who you are. Stop lying. Be who you are. So put off sinful anger. Now that's the negative. What is the positive? Put on righteous anger. Again, the Bible says be angry. But do it in a righteous fashion. That's verse 26. Now, anger is a gift from God, but anger must be under the control of God. Now, here's a question, and it's not a trick question at all. But I want you to think about this. Is anger found in God? Or how about this? Does God get angry? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. How about God incarnate? That's a fancy way of saying God in the flesh. Who is God in the flesh? Jesus Christ. Very good. Did Jesus get angry? Oh, yeah. Remember when He went into the temple? Circus going on, a whole bunch of people buying and selling of animals. Now, that normally took place there in the temple complex, but it had gotten out of control and God was dishonored. And what does Jesus do? He fashions a cord or a whip made out of small cords and He drives the animals out. He goes to the tables with all the money on it and He flips it over. Notice He never touches an individual. He was not out of control. He was under the control of the Holy Spirit. And as the disciples see this anger rousing up in Him, they remember a passage from the book of Psalms that says, "Zeal for the house of God has eaten me up." And what did Jesus say? He said, "My house, my Father's house, is to be a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of robbers." Oh, the anger, but the controlled anger of God as it came up. Why? Because He was zealous for God. He wanted His Father to be honored, and His Father wasn't being honored, and that bothered Jesus. That's not the only time Jesus got angry. We read in Mark 3 and verse 5, when He looked round about them, that is the religious Pharisees, with anger, He was grieved for the hardness of their heart. Here we see Jesus looking at determined hardness of heart. They would not listen to God. And that bothered Jesus. Not the only time Jesus got angry. Matthew 23, once again, He's looking at the self-righteous hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the religious elite there in Israel. And you read Matthew 23, some of the most scathing words He ever uttered. He said, you think yourselves to be great spiritual people. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. You are hypocrites. You know how to paint the outside, but inwardly you are full of dead men. Bones. Oh, Jesus got angry at self-righteous hypocrisy. It bothered Him. You know what also bothered God? Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now it says the wrath of God. This is not an explosive wrath. This is not an out-of-control wrath. This is not an erupting wrath. No, it is a controlled wrath. It is a settled enemy of unrighteousness. In other words, everything that is sinful, everything that is unholy, everything that is against God, God stands on the other side and says, "I am the enemy of sin. Sin grieves the heart of God. All right. I said this earlier, and I'm going to say it again. Look back at verse 24. Here is the description of the new you. You are created after God. When you became a Christian, something happened to you. Now you have the same capacity for righteous anger that God Himself had. So put on righteous anger. Anger is directed at the bondage that enslaves a person. If I can put it this way, Psalm 97:10, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. There are certain things that should cause your righteous anger to rise up. And not out of control, never out of control, but a settled conviction and a hatred for what sin is doing. What about the Apostle Paul? Did he experience this? Oh, yes. Read Acts 17. He went to the ancient city of Athens. Well, I'd like to visit Athens one day. He went to the ancient city of Athens, and while he was waiting for his friends, his missionary team, to come join him, he began to look around the city, and the scripture says in Acts 17 that his spirit was stirred within him when he saw the city completely given over to idolatry. You know, it was said in ancient Athens that it was easier to find an idol, a god, than it was to find a man. They were everywhere. And it grieved Paul. It annoyed Paul. It irritated Paul to the point that he said, I must do something. I must help them to see that this bondage that has enslaved them, Jesus was not honored. Jesus was not worshipped. Jesus was not lifted up. Jesus was not prized. And that bothered Paul. All right, young man, young lady, does it bother you? Does it bother you when Jesus Christ is mocked in our world? Does it grieve your heart when Jesus is dismissed? Does it cause anger in your heart, not out of control, but an anger to rise up in your heart when Jesus is lifted up as a wonderful man, but denied his deity, denied his godness, when supposedly religious elite people say, Jesus is a wonderful teacher, a wonderful martyr, a wonderful man, but he was not God. He was not the eternal Son of God. Does that anger you? Does that bother you that Jesus is not honored, that he's not worshipped? Does it bother you what sin is doing to families? What sin is doing to lives around you? Does it bother you when you look at your friends and you see them being seduced by the seduction of their own importance and they start going down into a path of sin and they don't see where they're going? Does it hurt you? Does it bother you what pornography is doing to our world? Does it bother you what adultery is doing to families? Does it cause anger within your heart when you see what the drug industry is doing and what alcoholism is doing to us? Do you see what the hypocrisy is doing? Do you get roused up in your heart when sin is tearing and destroying? I'm not saying that you're upset at the person, but what sin is doing to that person. Are you kind of like, you know, whatever, doesn't affect me? Who are you? Are you the new person in Christ? You're created after God. So rouse yourself. The sin around you should cause grief in your heart that you say, I want to say and I want to do something to help point people to Jesus Christ. Again, we're not talking about explosive anger. We're talking about anger that is controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. That you would fall upon your knees and lay hold of God and call Him to come down and act on our behalf and for the cause of Jesus Christ. How then should you live? You're the new person in Christ. How should you live? Put off sinful anger. It's not who you are. Put on righteous anger. That's who you are. All right, but what makes this Christian behavior? Remember, put off, put on Christian reason why. Because I know a lot of non-Christians who try to control themselves. It always comes down to motives. Always comes down to motives. You take a non-Christian, they try to control themselves. Why? Well, they try to control their anger maybe so that they would be polite to others. so that they would be nice to others. They try to control their anger so that they can be a gentleman, or so they won't lose a job, or they won't lose a contract. I'll keep myself under control. I don't want to lose my job. They try to control themselves to keep the peace or to have advancement in their career. There are many, many reasons why people try to control themselves. Those are all wonderful motives, but none of those are Christ motives. None of those have Christ in them. None of those, therefore, that behavior is not Christian behavior. It's good behavior, but it's not Christian behavior. What makes this Christian behavior? We have different motives. The gospel has changed everything, and our understanding of wrath and anger really in two great ways. Number one, we put off sinful anger for this motive because it's part of the old man. That's not who we are anymore. I've said this, and I'll keep saying it over again. You sit here this morning and you say, well, Andy, you know, I lose control because that's just who I am. I'm a hot-blooded person, you know. That's just how I was born this way. I do not disagree. You were born that way. But according to the gospel, you were not born again this way. Put away sinful anger. You're no longer living as the old man. Stop lying about yourself. Put off sinful anger. But here in our text, we have the great Christian reason why we put off sinful anger. We put it off because if we do not, it will give Satan an opening to our lives. Did you notice that in verse 26 and 27? Be ye angry, sin not, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Here it is. Here's the Christian reason why. Neither give place to the devil. Let me put it to you this way. Satan is an opportunist. Satan is an ambusher. Here's a good Western term. Satan's a dry gulcher. He's waiting to pounce. He's waiting for the moment to enter back into some areas of your life so that he can master you, so he can control you, so he can devastate you. You see, a young lady or a young man out of control is easy prey for Satan to pounce in and gain control. See, when you rage or you seethe in anger or bitterness, you are out of control. You have lost control of your emotions. You're a human being. You are created to be rational, to be thinking, to be under control. But when you are out of control, you are at the mercy of agitated and elevated emotions, and you are not thinking like an individual. You're not thinking like a human being. You are reacting like an animal. And it's when your guard is down, Satan pounces in. And he stirs up irrational emotions, irrational thoughts, and influences you to say some things that you would never say were you under the control of the Holy Spirit. Words and texts and posts and actions that come tumbling out of you, that the moment they do, they burn bridges between you and someone you really do love. Someone who's very close to you, you wound them, you burn that bridge. And I praise the Lord that later on, when you're back under control, you come to that person and say, ah, you know what, I said such and such, would you please forgive me? And they might just forgive you, and that's a wonderful thing. But wounds have occurred that even forgiveness will never erase. The relationship will be completely and permanently altered because you lost control. And Satan ambushed you. How many marriages, how many relationships have fallen apart because someone lost control and said some very awful things? And at that point, you will have no one to blame but yourself because you lost control. You gave the devil access to your heart. Proverbs 25:28, he who has no rule over his own spirit, you have lost control of your spirit, you are like a city broken down and without walls. In the ancient world, cities had protection by building walls, but when a wall was down, the enemy had free access in and out of the city. Solomon here, the writer of Proverbs, says, your life is a walled city, but when you lose control, the walls crumble down and the enemy of your soul has freedom of access to you. So what do? Verse 26. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Get wrath and anger off your heart every day. Do not delay. Get it off your heart. Seek forgiveness. Seek restoration before the day is done. Put offenses under the blood. Do whatever it takes to reconcile. Do whatever is necessary to get right. Because if you harbor anger in your heart, Satan will destroy all that you hold dear, and you have to point the finger at yourself because you gave him access to your heart. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't you see? Anger and wrath in your heart is a complete denial of the gospel you say you have believed. You have sinned and offended God. You have sinned and offended the Lord Jesus Christ. Did he react in anger towards your sin and offense against him? Did he condemn you? No, he was condemned for you. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2, 23 and 24, that when Jesus, when he was here on the earth, when he was reviled, he did not revile back. When he suffered, he did not threaten. But he committed himself to his Father who judges righteously. Oh, you want to take vengeance in your own hand. You want to see that person get what's coming to them. You are so unlike Jesus. What are you, unsaved? You're created after God. Turn things over to the perfect judge. But the very next verse says, who his own self bare in his body our sins on the tree. You see, Jesus Christ did not condemn you. Again, he was condemned for you. He took the wrath of God meant for you. He absorbed it. He took it. You say that you have been saved surely by the grace of God. You say that you believe in the gospel of forgiveness and the gospel of reconciliation and the gospel of peace. Good for you. That's who you are. Great. Then why are you so angry at other people? Why are you harboring anger in your heart? This is not who you are. How is it that you can hate or hold back forgiveness? You are denying the very gospel that saved you. You are mocking the gospel that saved you. Be who you are. Put off sinful anger. Put on righteous anger. So that we deny the devil an opening to our heart. That's Christianity. It comes down to why you do what you do. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for these young people.